God of the wilderness, we enter this Lent following the one who went into the desert and faced the giants of greed, ego, and empire. Break our hunger for power. When we are tempted to turn stones into bread for ourselves while the world starves, remind us that true life is found in the nourishment of justice. Break our hunger for status. We refuse to stand on high steeples of privilege, expecting your grace to catch us while we ignore those falling around us. We will not use our faith as a shield against the needs of our neighbor. Break our hunger for empire. We will not bow to the gods of profit or the idols of supremacy. We will not trade our humanity for a seat at the table of the oppressor. In this wilderness, strip us of our indifference. Refine our resistance and lead us toward a resurrection that liberates us all. Amen.
Amen.
I discovered that prayer on TikTok, of all places. Even more amazingly, it comes to us from a Baptist church in Kentucky, Ridgewood, Louisville, which is a part of the Covenant Fellowship of Baptists, not the Southern Baptist tradition. And based on that prayer, it struck me so deep, I based my sermon today on that prayer. The prayer we've just offered names God as God of the wilderness, not God of the palace, not God of the marketplace, not God of the marble hall or the high tower, but God of the wilderness. And that is where Lent always begins. The Spirit drives Jesus into the desert in the Gospel according to Matthew. The devil does not gently lead Jesus. He does not politely invite Jesus. He drives him into a place of exposure, into a landscape without distraction, into a geography where illusions dry up as quickly as water. And there, in the stripped down place, he faces what the prayer calls the giants, greed, ego, and empire. The gospel gives us other names, stones into bread, a leap from the pinnacle of the temple, and all the kingdoms of the world. But the shape of them is the same. Turn these stones into bread. It sounds practical, efficient, sensible. If you're hungry and you have the power, use it. Feed yourself. But Jesus has come not simply to feed himself. He has come to feed the world. We should know this temptation. We feel it in subtle ways, perhaps. The temptation to secure our own comfort first, to make sure our table is full, our retirement protected, our church stable, our people safe, and only then, perhaps, to consider the hungry at the gates. But in the wilderness, Jesus refuses to turn stones into bread for himself, because he knows that bread that is hoarded is never enough, and that bread that is shared is always a sign of the kingdom. When we prayed, break our hunger for power, We are asking God to confront that part of us that all depends on control. The part that fears scarcity so deeply that we grasp instead of give. The wilderness exposes that fear. It also teaches us another kind of nourishment, what the prayer called the nourishment of justice. Justice is not an abstract idea. It is bread placed into the hands of the hungry. It is debt that is forgiven. It is systems that are reimagined. It is a table that is widened. That's the life that Jesus chooses. Then comes a second temptation. Throw yourself down. Stand on a high steeple. Perform spectacle. Let angels catch you. Prove your belovedness. We live in a world that loves spectacle, a culture that rewards visibility, applause, and branding. Even churches are tempted to measure faithfulness by relevance, by how many clicks your Facebook page gets, or by your prominence in the neighborhood or on the street. But Jesus refuses to stand on the pinnacle and let God perform on cue. And we prayed, break our hunger for status, because status is a subtle idol. It tells us that we are closer to God than others, that we deserve the safety nets that others do not, that grace is something that cushions our fall while others crash to the ground. We prayed that we refuse to stand on high steeples of privilege, expecting your grace to catch us while we ignore those falling around us. That line should make us rather uneasy. Because privilege, which most of us have, can insulate us from the suffering we claim to lament. It can allow us to speak about justice without risking anything. It can let us use faith as a shield rather than a doorway. But Jesus does not cling to privilege. The hymn in the letter to the Philippians tells us that he emptied himself. He steps down. He descends. He stands not above the vulnerable, but among them. Lent invites us down from our pinnacles, down into solidarity, down into listening, down into shared humanity. And then the third temptation. All this I will give you. All the kingdoms, all the power, all the glory, if only you bow. This is the temptation of empire. An empire rarely looks monstrous at first glance. It looks orderly. It looks efficient. It tends to look prosperous. It promises influence. It offers us a seat at the table, so long as we agree to not ask how the table was built or whose labor made the feast possible. We pray to break our hunger for empire. We will not bow down to the gods of profit or the idols of supremacy. That is a dangerous prayer. because empire is not only out there. It is woven into economies. It's woven into institutions. It's woven into histories, and it's woven into churches. It whispers that aligning with power will help us do more good. That compromise is pragmatic. That proximity to dominance is necessary. But Jesus chooses a different throne. He chooses a cross. The cross is Rome's instrument of terror. It's the empire's final word. And yet, in the mystery of God, it becomes the place where violence is exposed and unmasked, where domination reveals its emptiness, where love refuses to bow. When we say that we will not trade our humanity for a seat at the table of the oppressor, we are aligning ourselves with the cross. And that alignment costs something. The wilderness always costs something. It strips away indifference. It refines resistance. It exposes what we have trusted instead of God. But the wilderness is also the place where angels minister, where clarity comes, where identity is grounded, not in dominance, but in belovedness. Before Jesus ever entered the desert, he hears a voice in the Jordan, "You are my beloved." That voice sustains him in the wilderness, and it sustains us. Because the work of justice can become brittle if it is not rooted in belovedness. Resistance can become rage if it is not watered by grace. Lent is not about punishing ourselves. It is about remembering who we are and whose we are. We follow the one who refused greed. We follow the one who stepped down from ego. We follow the one who unmasked empire. And we follow him not only into the wilderness, but through. The prayer ends with hope. Lead us toward a resurrection that liberates us all. Not a private resurrection based on our personal relationship with our Lord and Savior. Not an escape plan like the rapture. Not a spiritualized survival strategy like a prepper. But a resurrection that liberates us all. The resurrection of Jesus is not simply about life after death. It is about the defeat of every force that diminishes life now. It's about a new creation breaking into this one. It's about stones that become bread for everyone. It's about pinnacles that become tables. It's about empires that crumble into communities of mercy. Lent does not end in the desert. It ends in an empty tomb. But we cannot get to that garden without first walking through the wilderness, without confronting those three giants, without letting God break our hunger for power, for status, and for empire. So perhaps this season we do not ask, "What will I give up?" Perhaps we ask, "What false hunger needs to be broken in me?" What stone am I still clenching? What steeple am I still standing on? Whose throne am I still tempted to bow down to? Let us pray. God of the wilderness, drive us where we need to go. Strip us of indifference. Refine our resistance. Teach us again the fierce, tender way of Jesus. And lead us through desert, through cross, through the long night, into a resurrection wide enough to set the whole world free.